This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I feel so strange. Every time I speak your name. That's funny. You say that you
I told Chris Kerber, as Game 3 was going on and his prediction was incredible, just spend your off night going to the casino because this man knows all.
This one to me, this game to me, because that Dallas is going to be able to get the matchups they want, Frank, this one to me comes down to the Thomas Bozak maroon line. They've been kind of quiet. Robert Thomas has been off the score sheet a little bit, so I'm looking at that line for success tonight.
Back behind the net, maroon with it, out in front with a shot. He celebrates, he scores!
Chris Kerber joins us now live from Dallas. Did you go to the casino last night?
I did not. I just took it easy, met up with some family and friends, had a good time, and just figure every blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, I guess.
Could we buy lottery tickets together in the near future?
Okay, now that I don't mind seeing if the luck transfers over to.
All right. By the way, if you do win the lottery, let's just say Chris Kerber won $200 million. Would you be doing Blues hockey the next night?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, how would your life change?
I'd take care of a lot of people and a lot of things, and I'd reevaluate some other stuff. But at least in the forefront, I'd continue to call games. I love it too much. It's too much fun going to hockey games and sporting events and broadcasting and having fun with it.
And your Greg Louganis reference is gaining traction. The next morning, it was on NHL Radio Network. They're talking about on television. That was fun.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes something pops into your head, and I guess credit to Greg Louganis because he's pretty much the only Olympic diver I remember the name of.
That's exactly what Brian said yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were asking around the players about it yesterday, and, you know, those that are calling it gamemanship just need to stop. I mean, we understand why, and, yeah, you're trying to draw the penalty. But you know what? This has been – I truly believe that this has been probably as inconsistent and challenging of a postseason as we've seen in quite a long while for NHL officials. And with as much scrutiny as those guys are under, and as hard of a game as it is to officiate, the reality of it is when a player like Esa Lindell does that, you almost make it next to impossible on those guys. And so, terrific job by the officials to make that call. I think it's okay to call, especially – now, they were calling one before the third one that he did, but, you know, the reality of it is some people can call it gamemanship, Frank. I think it's embarrassing for the game and for the player. And you're talking about a player that had played 30 minutes and 13 seconds in the previous game, all in regulation, and 7 of those minutes were penalty kill. He was a terrific player in game 2, and then he goes and pulls that junk in game 3. And then it looked like he went down awfully easy on what proved to be the game-winning goal. So I guess, you know, karma was well served.
Have you ever seen anything like that? I know we have plenty of this going on in the soccer world, and it happens sometimes in the NHL, but I don't think I've ever seen the thespian ability like I saw the other night by this guy.
Well, and he proved he didn't have much thespian ability. That's part of the problem.
That's
the
right.
The acting job was just so bad, but... we see it, and, you know, and you see it. How many times do you see it where a guy grabs his face when a stick didn't hit him trying to draw the penalty, and more times than not are successful doing so? I understand why it's part of the game, but I thought Esa Lindell took it to another level, and, you know, that's the kind of thing to me where you are trying to draw, like, even if when you watch that replay, Frank, and you see him look back to double-check where Bortuzzo is and trying to slowly back up into a game trying to draw that, I mean, I'm telling you, that's the kind of thing where I think supplemental discipline should be able to find the guy no matter what. So I don't like it. I don't like seeing it in there. I understand why it's a part of things. I'm not a fan of it because, like I said, I just think there's officiating, this is so hard on these guys as it is. And some of them have proved to have a hard time doing it, that when you've got to try and make that judgment, I just think it puts people in a really bad spot. I didn't like it.
All right, take us inside the mind of Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Dallas Stars, and what do you think his approach should be for this vital game four?
Well, this is a guy that's, you know, won national championships at the collegiate level as a coach. He has a terrific sense of confidence about him when you talk to him, when you see his demeanor, when you watch his interactions on the bench as well. The Dallas Stars are in the exact same spot that they were in round one. So right now the Dallas Stars have nothing to blink twice at. They split in Nashville. They lost game three on home ice, and then they won three in a row to eliminate the Nashville Predators. So for him, he's just going status quo, guys. Let's keep battling. Let's keep going. He's got his special teams going well. He's scoring power play goals. They scored a shorthanded goal. His penalty killing has been just lights out fantastic. You know, I think Ben Bishop probably would say he'd like to be playing a little bit better than he did in games one and games three. But, you know, for the Dallas Stars, you know, it was at this point in time that the series turned in Nashville. Jamie Benn took over, and he took over because of a terrific hit onto Ryan Ellis that kind of changed the momentum of a game and, you know, got it, the Stars a terrific goal. So it could come down to top-line heroics again for the Dallas Stars.
5-on-5, the Blues have really shut down the Stars' top line.
They've done a very good job. And you know what? They really, for the most part, did a good job against the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets had so much depth that you weren't going to get every line, you know, but you said, okay, we're not going to let Patrick Laine over-dominate us, and we'll see where the chips fall on the rest. And they did a good job with it, Frank. So 5-on-5 play was the key to success in the second half of the season for the St. Louis Blues, without a doubt. And it's going to have to stay that way because the power play just isn't going.
I know there's a lot of factors in getting a 2-1 series lead, but if we just wanted to narrow it down, the bottom line is our goaltender has played a little better than their goaltender.
Yep, you're out-goalieing the other team, and, you know, it's a good thing to see, something we haven't seen all too often. Jake did it to Dubnyk 2 years ago against the Minnesota Wild, and Jordan Binnington has really just been solid and calm. You got to love the quotes of this guy too, don't you, Frank? I mean, you put a microphone in front of a ton of players over the years. When Ben Hockman yesterday asked him about his spotted beard, which is just kind of sparse and, you know, growing in kind of like the front yards of some of us, when he said, "No, it's about as thick as it's ever been. I probably need to go get some beard oil," I nearly spit and I had to walk away from the media scrum. I started laughing so hard.
Chris, when do you become convinced that this is not just a nice stretch and that this is a goaltender that the Blues can move forward with for years to come?
Well, honestly, on that one, I'm not even thinking along those lines until, you know, we see what happens next year, maybe even, you know, a year after that. I think you just have to look at it from a game-to-game standpoint and say, so far he's given you no reason to doubt him. What we have not seen from him is what happens when you have a couple of bad games in a row, and then how do you respond? You know, and that happens to every starting goaltender. It's not just one. It could be a 2 or 3-game stretch. And the reason I say that is, you know, the stat that we referred to the other day with him tying the NHL record of, you know, fewest starts to get to his 30th career win, well, that was done by Frederick Anderson. Well, Frederick Anderson's now with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's on his second team, and he's a good goalie, but I don't think anyone's putting him in the great goalie category just yet. You know, we've seen goaltenders go on runs. We saw Brent Johnson, who ended up with a terrific, you know, 10-year career primarily as a backup, but he had a year as a starter for the Blues, got the 30 wins, shut off the Chicago Blackhawks, 3 straight playoff games, you know, and that's it. We've seen enough good stretches. I mean, heck, even Chris Mason in 2009. Chris Mason in 2009 put together a stretch in the second half to get that team to the playoffs. Every bit statistically as good as what Jordan Binnington did in the second half this season. So I think you just take this one for what it is. The Blues do own his rights. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, and we just kind of see where it goes from there. But I think it's way too early. We've seen, you know, far too many, you know, goaltenders come in and play well at the beginning and then not have a long stretch after that. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but it's hard to project that out.
Were you around David Perron when he was asked about the line changes before Game 3, and he kind of took a shot at Ken Hitchcock? And did you hear that?
I did not. Yeah, I did not hear that, Frank.
Well, basically saying that this shouldn't become the issue, you know, line changes. And then he said, you know, that's kind of like in the Hitchcock era, and we don't need to be talking about that. But anyway, let's get to, you know, if you win game three, you probably aren't going to change anything lineup-wise for game four, correct?
Yeah, I don't imagine Craig Berube doing that. And the biggest reason is, just that's not his MO. That's just not what we have seen in his time as a head coach. Now, is there somebody nicked up or banged up? That I don't know yet. We'll be at the rink in probably about 20 minutes. But and then the team doesn't hit the ice until noon today with the late start. So I don't anticipate anything there. I like what Robert Bortuzzo did. Now, they only played him 10 minutes in the game, Frank. So at one point they were shortening the bench. And what the Blues really did strategically, and hopefully we'll get a chance to maybe bend Mike Van Ryan's ear a little bit today on this before the game. The matchup that they went against the Jamie Benn line, they went with a three-headed monster matchup. They were matching up with Alex Pietrangelo, Jay Bouwmeester, and Colton Parayko. So they were trying to make sure that there was a three-man matchup. So what that had happened is that had Vince Dunn playing sometimes with Bortuzzo. It had Gunnarsson playing sometimes with Bortuzzo. Had those two guys also playing sometimes with Pietrangelo over the course of that game. Now, it seemed to work, but it did end up limiting the minutes of a guy like Robert Bortuzzo a bit.
Who's the best player not named Jaden Schwartz for the Blues in this series, and excluding Jordan Binnington, too?
Oh, you know what? I might have to go Jay Bouwmeester.
Wow.
I think Jay Bouwmeester is playing some absolute terrific hockey. Look, good players, good offensive players, top lines. They're going to score even on top defense pairings without a doubt. But I'd have to say Jay Bouwmeester has been every bit as good as anybody else, if not even better. I thought Colton Parayko and Vince Dunn, you saw them starting to wheel that puck around last game a little bit. And if they do that again, it's going to create some more problems for the Dallas Stars. But I'd put Jay Bouwmeester's series up there with a terrific series so far.
All right. The only reason that anybody's listening to this program today is because of what we're about to do. The pick to click from Chris Kerber for tonight in game four.
Shouldn't we just, like, retire right about now?
You should.
Go out on top.
We're paying you so much money, we demand this.
You know what? I look at this game and I don't know if it's going to be this game or one of the next, but at some point in time, the St. Louis Blues special teams are going to have to, I think, be a difference maker. So instead of going one guy tonight, I'm going to look at the special team aspect of the game and think that it's going to be key, because you're going to get a heck of a push from the Dallas Stars. They might force you to take a penalty or two, so the penalty killing is going to have to be enormous. But, you know, this time around, when Dallas does take a penalty, you've got to bury it and you've got to take advantage of it, because that could be a real dagger to them in game four. Is that too broad, or are we okay with that one?
No, we'll go with that one, yeah. Watch them get a shorthanded goal, then you'll be God with a small G. All right, young man, appreciate the time. We'll be listening late tonight. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great day, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, Chris Kerber joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. All right. A couple of good stats there from Brian. We'll get to those about Braden Shen and David Perron in just a moment. But let's tell you about our good friends at the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, in the sunset of their life, it's a cruise ship, but it's grounded. It's 170 in Del Mar. It's one McKnight place. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. There is no place like the Gatesworth. And if you want to watch that hockey game in a great atmosphere tonight, how about Hollywood Casino? 99 Hops House, 99 different beers to choose from. The food is outstanding. Maybe you go for dinner, Final Cut Steakhouse, and then head on over to 99 Hops House for the game. The beer will be flowing. The food will be outstanding. There's just no better place to people watch and watch a game in St. Louis than Hollywood Casino. We'll take some text when we come back. A lot of people weighing in on the magazine topic, the Blues, and the most valuable pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals this year. Could anybody argue? John Gant, Maryville University, listener line wide open, 855-282-8255. Go to maryville.edu for more information. We'll be right back.